Welcome everyone to the Kill Rock Podcast, the hashtag KRP, and this is our debut episode of Album Review Wednesday! That is right, Album Review Wednesday. Every Wednesday we'll be doing album reviews with special guests. This week we have Nathan Viscara. He is the cousin of the original drummer of the Perosia. That's how ridiculous this show is. We don't have the original drummer. We have the cousin of the original drummer. Anyway, this week we have Nathan Viscara, and we are talking about Emma Rosa's latest album, Versus, off of Rise Records. We're going to get started right now with a song from the original guest of the Kill Rock Podcast. This is Hearts Like Lions, and from their EP, These Hands, this is I'm Not Running Away From This, here on the hashtag KRP. The debut episode of Album Review Wednesday! That's right, Album Review Wednesday. Here on the Kill Rock Podcast, Album Review Wednesday, we're bringing in some friends of mine, as well as other bands, members of bands, and industry workers come in, and we're reviewing albums and talking about them and scoring them and basically making music even more opinionated than it already is. But first, before we get started, this week we have Nate Vizcarra. Nate, say hello.
Hi, how you doing?
That's Nate Vizcarra. He's a good friend of mine. He's actually the cousin of the original drummer of The Perugia, which means nothing, but that's who he is.
No one cares about that.
Nobody cares about that. This this week on the debut episode of Album Review Wednesday, we are talking Emma Rosa's newest album, Versus, off Rise Records, the first album with their new vocalist, Bradley Walden. But first, before we get to that, I'm going to let you guys know that you could support the Kill Rock Podcast / Album Review Wednesday without even spending a cent. That's right. You could, like, say, hey, you know what, I want to support the Kill Rock Podcast, and I don't even have to dip into my college fund? Yes, you could do that by listening.
What?
Yeah. Are you going to school, right, Nate?
What was that?
You're going to school, right?
I am, sir.
And guess what? You can support without paying into your college tuition.
Yeah, you know what? As far as I know right now, I don't even have any because I haven't seen that money in a long time.
Well, anyways, all you have to do is listen, download, subscribe, share it with your friends, and also rate and review. Just rate us, review us. You could also email us with your opinions on how the show's going at kill.rock.podcast@gmail.com. And you could email me personally at keith@killrockpodcast.com. Now that I have that out of the way, now we are going to get to Nate Vizcarra, and we're going to talk Emma Rosa's latest album, Versus. Nathan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Mr. Settles. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing very well. Right now, my Angels are down 3-1, and we've already taken
I was watching that.
Yeah, any CJs are... you know what? This is a music show, but I'm going to just go rant. Socia should not have put CJ Wilson into that game. I'm sorry. Everyone on that team is overpaid, except for Mike Trout. Mike Trout is worth that money. But everyone else is overpaid, and the players that aren't overpaid, that are actually underpaid, are the ones that actually provide for the team.
Well, you know what? You know what? It is pretty refreshing to hear you, probably one of the most opinionated Angels fans like I've ever known. Which, you know what? I'm not saying a lot, because I haven't met one Angels fan that isn't over-opinionated. No offense to all you Angels fans out there.
Because all, but, all the Angels fans come out in October.
Yeah. But, yeah, 2002. But, but you know what, though? It does make me feel good to know that you at least know when to say, hey, do you know what? We might not do that well. You know? And like, so that was just, it was kind of refreshing to hear that from you. So,
well, I mean, I knew when we clinched the division and we actually clinched the whole league, the team was 0-4 the last four games of the regular season. It's like, you're not even going to try, and then you're going to go up against a Royals team that, yeah, they're, you know, they're very, very underrated team, and it's just garbage the way that they've handled it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't really speak that much because Puig's kind of been letting us down.
Yeah,
so,
Puig's a hack. Kershaw's a hack, too. Kershaw
what
is a no, get back. He's a postseason hack. You could at least admit to that.
Okay, no, do you know what?
Don't blame Mattingly.
I won't. But I'm also going to say that Trout's kind of going that direction too when it comes to your situation right now.
You have to give him at least a little bit of credit. This is his first postseason, and LeBron took like what, 20 years to win his first championship, so we're pretty good.
What are you doing, you know, bringing LeBron into this?
Anyways, let's talk about Emma Rosa.
Music.
Let's talk about Emma. We're just losing our legitimacy right now.
I can see it dwindling.
Kill Rock, what path? What cast? Whatever. So we're going to talk Emma Rosa. Nathan, any opening statements you have towards Versus?
I just want to say that, like, right out of the gate, I really enjoyed Bradley's, I guess you can call it, confidence, because,
right.
you know, not a lot of vocalists in his position would just come out like that, like straight out the first song. You know, he was really, really confident in that first song, and that's what I really liked seeing. He really made it his, and I think that he's going to be a pretty good fit for the band.
I totally agree with that. I was reading an article that Alternative Press did with him, actually an interview with him on altpress.com, and a lot of the questions, like, what's your relationship with Johnny Craig? And he came on, and he straight up said it. He's like, I don't want to have a relationship with Johnny Craig. And, I mean, how ballsy is it to be able to say that about someone that, you know, basically created the band that you're in? But he also came out to say that, you know, he's so confident in this album and the songs that they've written on this album that he... In his personal opinion, he thinks it's the best album that Omarosa has ever put out. And you know what? I'm going to totally agree with him. And it's not because he's necessarily a better singer than Johnny Craig, even though he's totally up there. I'm not going to go back or forth on who's the better singer, because that doesn't really matter. But when it comes to a songwriting perspective, this album demolishes Relativity and the self-titled album.
I totally agree. I think that, you know what, you're gonna run into your 17-year-old scene girl that's gonna stick with Johnny Craig, you know, till the day she dies. But you know what, in all reality, that voice of his, you know what, like his horrible attitude and the fact that he gets kicked out of bands that he starts. like that's why it was brave of Bradley to come out and say that he doesn't want a relationship with Johnny Craig.
Right.
But at the same time, do you really blame him? You know, like was that a completely outrageous thing to say? Or is everybody in the music business going, yeah, you know what? I agree. You know, like,
yeah.
I wouldn't either.
Well, Johnny Craig even, he did a little Tim Lamnesis type deal where he basically threw Omarosa under the bus and announced that Bradley was the new singer of the band before the band was even set to, like, release that. And that's exactly...
I totally remember reading that.
Yeah, and it's totally what Tim Lamnesis did with the guys in As Lay Dying and Woven War, because he basically threw out that Shane Blay is the new singer of that band.
Yeah, that's kind of a little... That's kind of a little middle finger, you know, but trying to stay as, you know, ambiguous as possible with that. But
I think, at least with Johnny Craig, I think it was a middle finger. I don't really get what Tim Lamnesis even does with his life, except for lift weights in prison.
Yeah, it's bugged up, you know, but I just, with the Johnny Craig thing, it was a lot easier to see how that could have come from some aggression,
right?
You know, because that's who he is. He picks fights with everybody, you know? And like, I mean, like I'm still waiting on my MacBook, you know? And then like, I couldn't even get through that one, but no.
Well, this album is basically 4 years in the making. Which song is your favorite song? Can you choose a favorite song on this album?
You know what? I actually can. And I remember the first time I ran this album, the song that stuck out the most to me was 100 Crowns. That by far, I think, is my favorite song of the album.
Okay.
Just because it just comes at you so strong, and with the vocals and the instruments. And I mean, you can't really even put one thing on it, you know? It just really stuck out to me. You know, we all have those songs and those albums, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think for me, personally, I listened to a few songs before I listened to the album, and the song, I agree with you, the first track, when you were talking about the first track on the album earlier, I agree that basically, I think what's great about this album, before I tell you my favorite song, is that every song is catchy. It's not like an old Omarosa song where it just feels like parts. I remember listening to Relativity for the first time, and the reason why I got it is because I liked Johnny Craig's voice and is with a pretty good style of music, and I was like, okay, I'll check it out. So I listened to it, and it just felt like parts. They weren't songs. These are actually songs. I think the song I'll Just Wait, their first single off the album, I think it's an absolutely amazing song. Like, it reminds me of Airborne Toxic Event when I first heard that song, somewhere around midnight. And it doesn't necessarily remind me of the song. It just has the elements that make me feel like those same feels I first heard that song. And I think it's just catchy, and it's perfectly laid down, the format. It feels right. like it's a shorter song than it really is. And that's just because it's like one of those things where the more you are having fun, the faster time flies by. That's how I feel with that song.
Right. And you know what, like listening to it, I, cause that song comes right after, 100 Crowns.
Yeah.
And what I was listening to was the fact that 100 Crowns was so just like in your face, but really catchy. And I found I'll Just Wait to be such a refreshing slowdown,
right.
you know, because like a lot of bands, they go really big and then they go super soft to where you just kind of, you're just like, skip. Like, I'm not right. like in that mood right now. This was such a good like come down from the song before it, you know, and that's something that I really liked. And that's honestly what made me stick with the song for so long, you right. know, like just coming at it from as like a regular listener, you know, anybody who listens to it for the first time, that's what made me stay with the song, because it was so well written. The melodies were totally on point. And again, it was just such a nice come down. Like, it was so nice.
And this album's great because in the middle of it, from 4 to at least 6, they're kind of like slow down songs. They're not necessarily like the same pace. They're just kind of like, they're just like soft written songs. They have that like heavy, like loud element, but for the most part, they're softer songs. And then we get into Cliff Notes, the 7th track. And then on, mm-hmm. it gets back to that, you know, the original, original loudness of the first 3 songs. And it's a great yeah. dynamic. This album has a great dynamic. It's not fast song, slow song, fast song, slow song. It's a group of fast songs with a group of slow songs. Back to the fast, and then, you know what? Near the end, we're going to do one kind of slow song, and then we're going to kill it at the end.
Yeah, totally. And you know what it reminded me a lot of is you and I both have had, you know, a lot of experience, you know, you probably more than me, of playing live, putting together set lists and stuff right. like that. And one thing that the album reminds me of is how you or I would put together one right. of those, you know, a set list, how any band out there would put together a set list. You're not going to say, you know, we're going to kick you in the face and then, you know, you can slow dance with your girl and then kick you in the, no, you're going to group them, you know?
Right.
And like, that's what I dug about this album, is because, I'm kind of tired of hearing albums where they finish really quietly.
Right.
You know,
especially when they're heavy albums.
Yeah. And it gets annoying because they think, oh, you know, it's the end, you know, let's just wind it down, you know? And it's like, no, right. you want to end the album psyched to listen to it again, you know?
Right. Now let's talk about, one thing. I talked about I'll Just Wait. A lot of people have been kind of, backlashing against that being the first single on the album.
Do you, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, do you agree that I'll Just Wait is a good original, first single or not? And if not, what other song would you rather be the single?
Well, you know what? There's two. That I was just thinking about that too. There's two perspectives you can look at it from.
Right.
You can look at it from the artist perspective of, hey, do you know what? Maybe they took the most pride in that song. Maybe that's the song. Because you know, when you pick a single, you're going to pick the one that best explains what you're about now. Especially
right.
if you're a band like Omarosa coming with a new lineup. You know,
mm-hmm.
and so I can understand where they're coming from with how they thought about that. But at the same time, you can look at it from a listener's perspective who has never played a band in their life.
Right.
And think, you know, wait, what is this? Like, why is it so soft? You know, cause again, I keep making, my comments towards, you know, these little scene girls and stuff, but
yeah.
in all honesty, like that's, you know what, like it or not, that they're running the industry right now.
Right.
And, I'm going to write about that, like, in a, you know, little bit. But anyways, if you ask them, they're going to want to hear that straight up, you know, butt kicking, you know, the past should stay dead. They want it to, like, that's what they're looking for, you right. know, like, and if it's not up to what they think, or it's not up to par with how they wanted it to be, then they could come out, like you said, they did.
Yeah. Well, do you agree that this is a good first single?
I do. I do, because to me, it is a really strong song for them.
Right.
If they wanted to start off with hey, let me grab your attention, they probably should have started off with number 6, which is a Say Hello to the Bad Guy.
Right.
Very poppy, you know, like very super, like that stuff, like you see, like shows like Saturday Night Live having on, you know, like it was like poppy. And I guess if they really wanted to get attention, they would use that song, but maybe they looked a little deeper than that. Who knows?
Right. Or
but,
even,
for the most part, I do agree.
Yeah. Even Goldust, like Goldust has that like kind of Gautier type feel to it.
Yeah, totally.
You heard it?
Oh, no. First thing I thought was like, man, this is like definitely like an indie feel song, you
right.
know, like I came out of the Fox Theater, which is what all the other songs made me feel like I was in. And I felt like I was in a small little indie show when this song came on, you know, like it just created that feeling in me. And, so I agree.
I think that's what's great about this album. It seems to bring up the feels.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
And also like, you know, the song Goldust, it, for a lot of bands, that song might not even have a place on the album. But on this album, I'm not a scientist, but for some reason, it just fits cohesively with everything that's going on.
I completely agree, and that's something you can't do math to figure out. You
right?
just feel it, you know. Like that's something I totally agree with you on that.
It's like listening to a metal band, and then for some reason, like, there's a pop
there's
track.
Like accordion and stuff
yeah.
in there, and like, yeah.
Or like,
I know what you mean.
Attack, I'm on their, I want to say it was their self-titled album. There was a instrumental, but it was all like EDM type stuff. And yeah, I get that they were doing the EDM stuff, but it didn't really feel like it should have been on that album.
Right, yeah. But at the same time, though, like when tracks like that pop up, typically I look at it like it's a fun listen, you know, like I used to, you know, in the bands that I used to play in and stuff, they used to give me crap for, you know, listening to Attack. And I'm like, you know what, like say what you want, but they're fun to listen to, you know, like,
right.
like it really is. And it becomes about that rather than, you know, pledging your allegiance to, you know, other bands, therefore having to hate this band,
right.
you know, like it just, I mean, but, what you were talking about, I noticed that you said, you know, the feels and all that, that's something that I heard a lot of in, number 8, which is, Mad, great song title, I think too, but, it's very like angst, you know, like it's very like, I don't know, from what I heard a lot of, like daddy issues, stuff like that. And a lot of it too sounded like Johnny Craig to me. Not just the way he was singing, but the stuff he was singing about and the way he was singing about it, you know?
It reminded you of Johnny Craig in the sense that he was probably singing about Johnny Craig, or that he actually had that
Johnny Craig feel? Yeah, it had that Craig feel.
Okay.
To me. Like it really did. And he would just hit those notes, you know, where I feel like Craig would probably put that somewhere in there as well, you know?
You know, and Bradley Walden, he has his own distinct voice, but there, I think the reason why Omarosa probably picked him up, and I know I'm not going to, you know, this is my opinion, it doesn't necessarily have to be true, but I think that because he's a pretty singer, like Johnny Craig is, that probably won it for him. But what is so great about Bradley Walden is he is not obnoxious about the runs that he does or the way he twirls his voice like Johnny Craig would.
I agree. I totally agree. And
we're agreeing
at the same time, we are. And and like this is why we should be like best buddies, which I think we are.
We're there.
I didn't want to say anything.
It's there.
But I completely agree with like I would call them like his vocal flares, you know, like his little accents that he would put on the end of like Johnny Craig would do.
Right.
And he does that sometimes in the album that totally makes me think, oh, that's, you know, that's Johnny Craig, you know, but he has such, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, you know, come get me, Johnny Craig fans, but he has such a powerful voice.
Yeah.
You know, instead of Johnny Craig, like he has such more of a powerful voice. That sounded horrible, but you know what I mean?
No, I understand what you're saying. I totally agree. I think did you read that alternative press interview that he did?
I do not believe so. I think I only read like a little snippet of it.
Well, he goes on, and I think Bradley Walden might end up being considered one of the hardest working vocalists in the business, because, you know, at least in the underground rock and roll, hardcore, metalcore, whatever scene, he takes care of his voice. He took soda. He took everything out of his regimen. But do you know how he's helping himself make a living while on tour?
How?
He's giving vocal lessons over the internet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a point was made by the interviewer. I can't remember the name, but a lot of bands, a lot of members of bands, to make that extra money, they've been going towards making like t-shirt designs or starting their own clothing companies. I haven't heard anyone.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I haven't heard anyone that's actually using their craft, what they do on stage and for a living. I haven't heard anyone actually been using that to keep, you know, make that extra cash.
Yeah, that's definitely a first for me too. Like I have not seen that at all, and I think that's awesome.
I think it's great.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, I'm not too familiar with Bradley personally, like how he how he is, you know. But he doesn't give me those vibes, you know. That would be like the vibes of a bad dude, you know. Like,
yeah.
I feel like he'd be a really cool guy, and you're right. Like he takes care of his voice, and just he really hones his craft, you know.
Right.
And I like that. You don't really see that too often.
I think big things are for Omarosa. Would you agree?
I agree completely. I really think that this album is going to really step them up and put them up on that other playing ground.
Do you see any flaws with this, with Verses?
Flaws. I wouldn't say flaws. There are just some things where I do feel like they went too close to Omarosa, but then again, other people would think that that's great, you know, like, so, I mean, that's just me. One thing, and I know you asked me what flaws there were, but there's actually an improvement that I really like, which is the leads aren't being shoved down your throat.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That's a really big, that, like, that's not only an Omarosa thing, that's a Johnny Craig thing.
Yeah.
Like that's a, he needs those guitar leads to be shoved down your throat for some reason, and he doesn't even play guitar, or he doesn't play guitar for the band.
Like on the song 1996 on Bavard, like, it's like, it's there, but it's not oversaturating the whole sound.
Yeah, no, totally. And one thing that I'll never forget, my dad, you know, being a lifelong musician too, he was a drummer, and somehow I picked up guitar. But anyways, he would always tell me, like, with a good band, it's not what you hear, it's what you don't hear.
Right.
You know, and like, I'll never forget that, because it applies so much in music, you know,
really,
like when
does.
You play in a band, when you make music. And I think that's a big factor in this album, is like, dude, the leads are so comfortable, you know,
yeah.
Like, it's not just, and the thing with Johnny Craig is like, I feel like I'm harping on him a lot, but
I don't know who hasn't.
But
I'm not trying to get him on the show anytime soon, so I don't really care.
Yeah, you know what? I heard he was calling, but I mean, who knows?
I ignored his publicist's email.
Well, this show ought to get him in. So,
totally. Come get us. Come get us, Johnny Craig.
What was that?
I said, come get us, Johnny Craig.
Yeah, come get us. But one thing that I think about Johnny Craig is like, whatever he touches turns into a Johnny Craig experience, you know, what happened with Omarosa when he joined, you know, like it was to me, honestly, it was another form of Dance Gavin Dance.
Right.
You know, his solo stuff was, it all sounds the same, and these are supposed to be different bands going all around.
Right.
You know, and that's something that I think that Johnny Craig does when he joins a band, is he takes it over. I'm not going to say, like, he shows up and, like, you know, like a prison yard, like, punches the biggest dude in the band, you know, I'm in charge, but you can definitely hear it in the influence for once, like we just said, the guitars. You know,
right.
Those leads are just like, rah, in your face. And you're just like, maybe that's not like for every song, you don't have to do that.
Right.
So that's just what I feel about him. So
I totally agree with that. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I don't know. I know some things about Johnny Craig regarding the bands that he used to be in and how he is, you know, either got kicked out or he left. But if you just listen to the songs and don't even get into the drama of what's going on, you could tell a dramatic change has happened from self-titled all the way up to Verses.
Totally. Yep.
What do you think about the production of this album? I think this actually might be where you and I disagree.
Really? Because like, I remember when we first talked about, you know, hey, you know, we're going to be doing this album. I remember one of the first things I told you was like, I think the production was really good.
Right.
You know, like I actually liked the production and stuff. And I forgot what you had said, but I'm actually pretty anxious to hear your thoughts on it.
I want to hear yours first.
Well,
I mean, I could give you mine. I could give you mine first. That's fine. I've been making you give your opinion first anyway. I think for the most part, the production on this album is really good. There's just one thing about it, and it's small. Maybe it's just like a certain pair of ears can hear it, but there's some sort of filter on Bradley Walden's voice that kind of influences the rest of the sound on the album. It's kind of a airy type feel, like you're listening to like a lower format. Do you understand what I'm saying?
It's almost like a fuzzy filter kind of, but in like really, really small, like a smaller version.
Yeah. It's like a flanger, but without the flange.
Gotcha. Okay. I think I know what you mean.
Yeah. And
that's something that I probably didn't pay that much attention to, but now I'm going to go back and listen to it and see.
I totally ruined the album for you.
I know. Probably.
I mean, it's not necessarily noticeable. I don't know. I've just been listening to enough albums in my life to like kind of be able to hear like certain little things. And it doesn't bug me to the point where I'm not going to listen to this album. I think that's where a lot of people will kind of, because I said that, people will be like, oh, wow, he's really crapping on the production. No, because if, you know, if there's one flaw in the production, but the songs are good enough, I'm going to listen to that album. It's not like the old days. Yeah, it's a good album. It's a great album. It's borderline amazing. And I think big things for Amorosa. It's just that little thing. It's not on every song, but it seems to be on the louder, heavier songs. And I don't necessarily know what it is.
Right. No. Do you think it compromises his voice in any way?
No, I don't, because his voice is there. I think it was
totally.
I think it was there to enhance a little bit.
Okay.
Not that there was much I mean, you know how it is in the studio and production. Like a lot of these studios nowadays, they just want to oversaturate everything. And I think
That studio overkill is something that you see a lot, and
right.
It's kind of needs to stop. You know,
it does. It takes away the raw. And I think this album would have been a lot better if it was a little more raw sounding. Not that it doesn't have
right.
that touch of raw, but it could be a little rougher.
Right. No, you know what? And that's something I was thinking is one thing that caught me by surprise was that all of the instruments and everything, it was very well produced,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't have that edge that
right.
I like to hear in my instruments, you know? And I completely agree with what you said right there.
All right. What else do you, anything else that you have to say about the production?
You know what? I don't know what, I don't know who they recorded with. I don't, I'd say overall with the production, it was a good job. That voice thing, I'm definitely going to have to check out. But overall, I'd say good job. There were more good things than bad. So
I feel you. What would you score? Let's get to that part. The Album Review Wednesday weekly scorecard. I totally made that up right now.
That was cool. I like that.
Yeah, the weekly scorecard. Hashtag that. Nathan Vizcarra, what would you score Omarosa's latest album, Versus, off of Rise Records, featuring their new vocalist, Bradley Walden?
Let's see. We agreed out of five, correct?
Out of five.
All right. That drum roll in my head is going off. I'd give it like a 3.7 out of five, just because, again, it was a great, amazing album, but you know what? It wasn't perfect, but no albums are.
Right.
You know, and come that perfect album, that's when they'll get a five, you know, but,
yes.
3.7, that's still really, really good. And then you can tell I really like this album. So,
yeah, you know what I did? Actually, I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now. I don't know if, obviously Wikipedia is kind of sketchy sometimes, but they were actually looking for, Tillin Pearson, the old vocalist from Tides of Man.
He's the new Dance Gavin Dance vocalist.
Oh, he is. Yeah. But it was rumored that he was going to be the vocalist at a time, but obviously this is Wikipedia. So.
Well, it was all, I think I know about that because it was only rumored because, he was their tour singer for a little bit. You know, just toured with them. So I can see how people are like, he's the new singer, you know, freaking out. But I mean, obviously that didn't happen. So.
Obviously. And he's another Johnny Craig old man. Yeah. Now let's get to my scorecard. By the Brian McTernan was the producer on this album.
Really?
The same producer of Illusion of Safety, Artist in the Ambulance, Still Searching by, I don't even have to say the band name. Everyone knows. Still Searching by Census Fail, and I believe I Am Empire's last album too, but no, that's not that big of a deal compared to Thrice and Census Fail. But now,
great. Now that's gonna. Now you had to read that right before you gave your score.
Yeah, because now it's a five. I am gonna score this a 3 out of 5, as well. And my reasoning, the production, you know, I kind of dookied on it. I'm sorry, Brian McTernan.
I feel like had you known going into this, you'd have been like, the production's my favorite. I love it so much.
I would have been kissing his butt the whole time. rate, review, subscribe. Never mind. This is so stupid. 3 out of 5. The production, I think it's great, but obviously the little filter thing, like it just bugs me a little bit. I agree with you. A band that, I mean, this isn't necessarily Omarosa's first album, but it is their first album as this like new band. You could see how far they could go in the future, but they're not there now. The potential is there, but they need to reach that potential. And I think they can. I think with this lineup, they can, especially if they work hard and they tour hard, play a million shows up until the next album. But 3 out of 5, great songs, amazing singing, amazing musicianship. We didn't even really talk too much about the musicianship, but... You know, that could be something for another day. I think their musicianship, we did. Actually, we did. But, 3 out of 5 for me.
Perfect.
Perfect. Well, it wasn't perfect.
Well, that's a whole theme of this episode.
Yeah, it is. It's perfect, but not quite perfect. It's a great album. And you know what? I think, honestly, it might end up being one of my top 10 albums of the year.
Really?
I do.
Okay.
I'm kind of a really tough scorer sometimes.
No, dude, I know it. I know, like, especially, well, we've been friends for a long time, and I remember having music conversations with you and, like, me, like, you know, I really like this. And you're like, well, I don't really like this. And I'm like, I need it. You know, I'm like,
I'm stupid. I didn't mean it. Kind of like the whole Brian McTernan thing now. That's really going to screw this whole episode.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's tough scoring albums, especially when you're as picky as some of us are. Any last thoughts that you have towards Emerosa versus, as well as the Kill Rock podcast listeners? I mean, if nobody knows yet, I haven't announced it yet, but Nate is actually going to be working with the Kill Rock podcast in some way, shape, or form in the future. Get used to hearing his wonderful voice. Anything you want to say, Nathan?
I can't stay away. I mean, you know, what am I going to do? It's always fun, you know, talking with you and stuff. And, with this album, I've said, you know, I've made my peace, but, again, I'm going to go on and say I've never been a huge Emerosa fan. I think that's going to change pretty soon because I can see myself playing this album a lot more. And, I think they kind of made a believer out of me by detaching from Johnny Craig. Although, I don't want to open up another conversation, but I did read that they were collabing with Johnny Craig for this album, which it would just only make sense, other than what Bradley Walden said about Johnny Craig, about how he doesn't want to establish a relationship with them. That doesn't mean that Johnny Craig wasn't there to help write the music, or something like that. That's something we got to do our homework on a little bit, maybe, because I'm curious to see, what's up with that. But, this album, I think that the further they get away from, trying to hey, we're Emerosa, we're still Emerosa. I think that if they take a lot of liberties like they did in this album, if they take more, there'll be nothing but good things.
I totally agree with you there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's talk Brian McTernan for a second. We're basically... Okay. Thank you guys for joining us here at the Kill Rock Podcast. Reach us at killrockpodcast.com. You can email us at kill.rock.podcast@gmail.com. You can email me personally at keith@killrockpodcast.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at kill.rock.podcast. Like us on Facebook. It's /killrockpodcast. And let's be friends. Let's talk a lot. Everyone out in Wichita, Kansas, your Kansas City Royals are up 5-2 right now. So we'll see you next week here on the Kill Rock Podcast with Fit for a King and Gideon. Have a nice week. She'll close her eyes and try to feel.
just for a moment. Her pain's not real. And darling child, open your heart and free your soul into the dark. And let the wicked pay for the sins they have made. You're gonna stand, you're gonna shine, you're gonna fly. You're gonna fly. Empty bottles on the floor. She lays her head against the door and she starts shaking, like rolling thunder in the heavens. She closes her eyes to a different side and hears her voice, it's gonna be alright. And she says she's sorry. Oh my God, she said she's so sorry. And she saw the light.
That was Darling Child by former guest of the Kill Rock podcast, Talking Trees. Thank you once again for joining us here on the Kill Rock podcast for Album Review Wednesday. We had a great time with you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Remember, give us some feedback. You can email us at kill.rock.podcast@gmail.com. You could also email me, Keith Settles, personally. Email is keith@killrockpodcast.com. Also, you could listen, download, subscribe. You could also rate and review. We appreciate your ratings and also your reviews. You could rate us and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, as well as our website, killrockpodcast.com. Suggest us to your friends. Let them know that we are around. We have had some amazing guests. We had Wolves at the Gate. We've had Silent Planet. We have Volumes. We've had Dayseeker. And we're going to have some amazing, amazing artists coming up. Let your friends know. We have Fit for a King and Gideon next week, as well as, it is going to be announced right now, Colossus. We're going to be talking their album, Badlands, as well as just their love for Face Down Records. We'll also, next week for Album Review Wednesday, we are talking about Finch, Back to Oblivion. I'm going to have my hairstylist, Sean Hale, back. And we're going to break down Back to Oblivion. So stay tuned to Album Review Wednesday, as well as the Kill Rock podcast every Monday and every Wednesday here only on the hashtag KRP. We will see you next Monday.